fit well with one of the studies we had an IGA with on recycling of materials, right?
Yeah, I know we need the those machines in order to repair it, because even though a lot of our system is concrete, the emergency repairs we do with asphalt. So if there's a trouble with the bridge joint or trouble with the bridge deck, you know, they will do a temporary fix to keep the road open.
And then with the recycling machines too, with the asphalt, the hot mix plants are usually closed, they're always closed in the winter months and on the weekends and holidays. So if our pavement buckles and we have to have a quick repair, we use these machines to warm up the asphalt so it's a better mixture, and then we apply it to the road so it's more compact and permanent.
Any questions on those three items under procurement? There being none, any objection to taking these three items together? Okay, there being none, do I hear a motion to approve items 1, 2, and 3 under procurement?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Moves to the full board consent agenda. Thank you. Thank you, John. Engineering.
Thank you, Chair. Hi, Paul. Peterson. Good morning, directors. Engineering has 18 items. The first four are all construction contract awards. Item 1 is a construction contract award for the installation of ramp queue detection equipment and also dynamic message signs on that portion of I-90 in the west that we just completed. We received 4 bids on this contract. Award is recommended to Aldridge Electric, who is the low bidder at $2,522,122.38. They're committed to meeting our DBE goal, and they have a new DBE firm, Blue Diamond Industries, which will serve as a subcontractor for the first time on this.
How would the ramp queue detection and how would that work?
So the ramp queue detection system will help us monitor if there's ever a backup on the ramps. We're very concerned about those high-use ramps backing up onto the main line, because then you have stop traffic right next to high-speed traffic. They will also communicate with the signals that are up on top of the ramps,
okay,
so that some modifications to the timing can occur so that it can relieve the backup.
Okay. Thank you.
Should I go on to item 2?
Please.
So item 2 is a construction contract award, and this is for some roadway improvements associated with our Elgin O'Hare Western Access Program. Work includes construction of Hamilton Lakes Drive and Park Boulevard, resurfacing of Pierce Road, and reconstruction of Ketter Road. We will also be installing a box culvert in this contract under Park Boulevard and Thorndale Avenue. We received 9 bids on this contract. Award is recommended to R.W. Dunteman, who is the low bidder, at $4,887,978.73. And they've committed to meeting our DBE goal.
A little over the engineer's estimates. Any comments on that? Any thoughts?
So I mentioned a whole bunch of street names and a whole bunch of different locations. And the fact that I have 7 bids here means that we did get a lot of attention paid to this. So we know we're getting a very competitive price here. I think the fact that these little small jobs were so broken up amongst multiple locations, that explains why the engineer's estimate was a little bit lower, because we were probably using unit prices that are more reflective of a job that's contiguous.
Thank you.
So what's the overall MBE DBE goal?
19%.
Yeah. And they're committed to 19.31.
It's on that first page. I see. Sorry. Okay.
All right. So the next 2 construction contracts are for rebuilding and widening of the mainline pavement on the eastern portion of I-90, the Jane Addams Memorial Tollway. As we presented to the board earlier this year, we talked about doing the combination bid option, allowing our contractors to consider bidding these jobs as one and giving us hopefully some economy of scale in their bid pricing. We received 3 bids on each of these contracts. Two of the bidders did take advantage of the combination bid option, and overall the tollway is saving $630,000 on these two jobs. And that savings is prorated amongst the two contracts, and with the board award, hopefully, of these two contracts, they're both going to be administered now as independent jobs. We allowed them to bid them as if they were doing one job because they're close together, and we wanted the economy of scale, but we're going to administer them as two separate jobs. So item number three is a construction contract award, and this is for building the outside mainline lanes and doing bridge reconstruction and widening between Oak Street and Wolf Road on I-90. It also includes some of the ramp work at the Elmhurst Road interchange. We received three bids on this contract, two combination bids. Award is recommended the lower construction company as the low bidder at $54,880,569.09. They have a WBE firm, Everlights. They'll be serving as a first time as a subcontractor on the tollway work, and Lord has committed to meeting our overall DBE goal. Item four is a construction contract award. This is for outside roadway and mainline bridge reconstruction and widening between Wolf Road and Mannheim Road on the GMs. We received three bids. Award is recommended the Lord Construction Company was the low bidder at $46,754,351.69. And they have also committed to meeting our DB goal.
Lord, with these two contracts being awarded to them, I'm taking that they have this unlimited capacity
they
also.
Do.
And where are they on the system now? Are they working?
They're wrapping up. They did most of our work at the 294-57 interchange, which is now complete. So they are looking to set themselves up for the coming years. Also, I know Lorig, their main plant is off of I-90, very close to this location. I think the fact that the tollway is getting good bids on these jobs, and we know we have a proven contractor, is encouraging to us. You know, we staggered our option to do these combo bids because we have three opportunities altogether. This was the first one. The next one we are proceeding with, and that those bids are scheduled to open tomorrow. And then we'll see how that goes. If we continue to get, you know, multiple bidders and good pricing, then, you know, that will dictate whether or not we proceed with the last one.
Historically, did they meet their DBE goals on the 294-57? Are they in compliance? Or did they exceed those goals?
They met the goals. I will have to get back to you as to whether they exceeded.
Okay.
But they did.
They have met the goals.
They're pretty responsive to the goals.
Okay.
So, did you have any expectations in terms of savings by doing the combo? They said it was 600 and some thousand.
630,000. We expected that there would be some economy of scale. We didn't know the exact amount that we would save.
Based on your engineer's estimates, there's quite a big savings.
Yeah.
Why were the engineers so off on their estimates here?
Typically, the engineer estimate is to try to be the average of the bidders. I think they were, you know, we did have considerable savings here.
Mm-hmm.
The engineer's estimate is based on historical pricing for the most part. So we will not be able to anticipate any advantages that the contractor may see due to, you know, proximity, or maybe they have excess material on hand that they need to use. We base it primarily on our historical pricing. So yes, we're very happy.
You're comfortable with the bid. Basically, they can do the work at this amount.
Yes, Lord has the capacity to do this work. They've proven that they could do a work of this volume to us in the past. They're a good contractor, and I'm happy to see that it is coming in below our budgets. And, you know, we are rolling out I-90, all the improvements through 2016. So this is, you know, we're maybe at the halfway point altogether on I-90, so we have a long ways to go. So
how was Lorig on change order request on 294-57?
They're very responsive and reasonable overall. I don't remember any big anomalies there, you know.
I just had to ask that question when I was at the opening because I think Mr. Lord was there and we were talking with the engineer who oversaw the project, and she was saying that it had been an extremely efficient relationship that they had.
It's definitely one of our stronger contractors, I think, in terms of delivery and kind of ease of working with.
Yeah, they're a fair contractor. They value many of the same things that we value, which is, you know, quality work being delivered on time. And they haven't ever shown to be deficient. And those two areas, you know, I remember they did that emergency repair for us at Balmoral in, like, record time and demolished that damaged section in, like, record time. And they're good.
Thank you.
You know, I think LORB also, they do a lot of bridge work.
Yeah.
So this easternmost section of 90 has a lot of mainline bridges in it. So I think it did put them in a good position to take advantage of what they're the best at, or what they're very good at. I don't want to say the best. We have a lot of contractors. They're all very good. I like them all.
It just occurred to me, on the Earned Credit Program, is that, maybe I don't understand it well enough, but if the more you do it, the better you get at it, do you get more credits?
The longer
you're
in it and you're continuing to employ people, it definitely provides an incentive for continued employment. So not just hiring people on one project and dropping them, but continuing the employment on over the course of several years. And, you know, it's not just prime contractors, it's subcontractors as well. So the Earned Credit Program amounts that you see here could be not only the prime contractors earned credits, but also subs who are working on their
jobs. I guess what I'm asking is whether it's a sort of a barrier to new entry into the system, because if you've been there a long time and you accumulate earned credits over time, you get to lower your bid is effectively lower.
Well, we have an awful lot of people bidding on our projects, so I don't think so.
Okay.
But certainly, you know, contractors who have been taking advantage of it for some period of time could find themselves in an advantageous position, and we want to encourage that, right? Because we're trying to encourage, additional diversity and additional people and gaining access to these great careers that are the building trades.
Yeah, and I think what Christy said about the fact that new contractors, they could be strategic about who they sub with.
Yeah.
And they can have their subs contribute ECP credits to them.
While they're building up their
their own.
And the ECP credit accrues whether the individual who continues to be employed is working on a tollway job.
Regardless of which project that person is working, whether it's a private sector job or a government.
You know, as long as they're on that contractor's.
For up to 5 years.
Yeah, work. So, and which is, I think, something that tips the hat a little bit to the realities of working in this industry. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's not just, you know, typically, although we have a big program going on, so you may end up doing a lot of work on tollway projects over the course of 5 years. You know, in this line of work, employees need to be willing to move around to different projects. So,
no, ECP was not a factor here.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was. I was just looking at the.
And I believe diversity assigns a maximum amount of ECP that would be considered on any one job. So we don't let anyone just, you know,
throw it in.
We don't let it get too, be too big of a factor. But it is, you can see that people are paying attention to it. It is encouraging folks to participate in the program. Okay. So the next 9 contracts are all for professional services. And these professional services were selections off of 14-1, our bulletin. And some of the highlights of 14-1 were we had 117 firms submitted 386 statements of interest on 19 items. So I think the takeaway there is that we have a very hungry consultant community who is very interested in doing our work. 47% of the contracts that were selected on this bulletin have a DBE prime. Five of these are going to be the sole prime by themselves, and five are part of joint ventures. 26% of our contracts will have a consultant who's going to serve as a prime for the first time. We had 15 mentor-protege commitments, so that was a very healthy response on our mentor-protege program. 20 sub-consultants are new to the tollway. 9 were DB firms and 9 were veteran firms. This is the first bulletin that the tollway has issued that had a veteran's goal on it. Total estimated fee is in the $97 million range, and 39% of those dollars were committed to DB firms. So after that big introduction, item 6 and item 7 are still in negotiation. We were hoping we were going to get a number and get it negotiated by the FAO. Hopefully we will accomplish that by the board meeting. We really have an interest in these two because they are going to be construction managers used on I-90, especially item 6, who's going to be the construction manager for those two LORD jobs that we're going to hopefully award. So
just 6 and 7 or 5?
Five and six. Defer to the full board.
Getting ahead of myself. Correct. 5 and 6 will be deferred to the full board.
Okay.
So then I will move to item 7, which is a professional service contract for construction management associated with construction on Wooddale Road over Illinois Route 390. This is also part of the Elgin O'Hare Western Access Program. Award is recommended to Civil Tech Engineering in amount of $2,986,500. They will have a mentor-protege agreement with a firm called 4HD. Subconsultants 4HD and EMT are both new to the tollway. They're committing to meet our DB goal on this contract, and they're also committed to meet our veterans goal.
Yes.
So item 8 is a professional service contract for the design of intelligent transportation systems and fiber optic design services upon request. Work is associated with the Elgin O'Hare Western Access Project. Award is recommended to the joint venture of Delta Engineering, who is a DMBE firm, and CH2M Hill, in the amount not to exceed $4 million. So the next several jobs are all upon request. So those are task order-based contracts, which have assigned upper limits. So these were enabled to bring to the board a little quicker than the other ones because there isn't a negotiation of the upper limit on these. They're just going to be assigned tasks until they get up to that dollar amount.
Are these open-ended as far as time?
We're giving ourselves a lot of time, but we, on all these upon request contracts, we have a list of tasks lined up that we want to get them started on right away. So I do expect that a lot of these services are going to be completed before that time period, which is that the contract can run through 2020, but most of the work is going to be done in the early term here.
Okay.
Item 9 is a professional service contract for geotechnical assistance services upon request. A specific task will primarily involve geotech analysis, preparation of reports, soil boring work, in support of design work on both the Elgin O'Hare and on I-90. Award is recommended to the DMBE firm Geo Services in the amount not to exceed $3 million. This will be their first job serving as a prime, and they're going to commit to exceeding our DB goal on this. Shannon and Wilson and Strata Earth Services and O'Brien and Associates will serve as a subconsultant for the first time on a tollway contract.
This is, looks great.
Yeah.
This is exciting. Both these and the one before.
New vendors.
So item 10 is a professional service contract for material engineering services upon request system-wide. Award is recommended to DBE firm Intera in amount not to exceed $3,750,000. They'll be serving as a prime for the first time. Intera is committed to exceed our DB goal. Tourney Consulting Group will serve as a subconsultant for the first time on a tollway contract. So these firms have served before, these primes, as subs on many, many of our contracts. So we believe they're going to do great on these. Item 11, this is a professional service contract for construction management services upon request. It's going to be work tests along the Jane Addams Memorial Tollway and also system-wide. They are going to do support work, CM work associated with crossroad bridge reconstruction. There's some landscaping and fencing contracts still going on. We're building the west ramps at Irene Road, and we're going to be installing those ITS components in the western portion of I-90 right now. So award is recommended to Parsons Transportation Group in the amount not to exceed $5 million, and they're committing to exceed our DBE goal on this contract.
And they're 100% employee-owned?
I believe that is true, yes.
Is that unusual? I just hadn't seen that.
I don't know.
Okay.
Should we do more research on corporate structures?
No, I just think it's interesting.
That they're something like employee-owned.
Yeah.
I think a lot of them on the disclosures seem to have a lot of employee ownership.
Really?
In the engineering. Yeah, there are a lot of ESOPs in this world. And
I recall
was one of the reasons that I think in the early phases of the new procurement laws, it was quite complicated because there were so many different ownership interests to disclose.
Okay. Item 12, professional service contract. This is design upon request services on the Jane Addams Memorial Tollway and also system-wide. Specific tasks that we're going to get them started on are some crossroad bridge reconstruction contracts, some corridor landscaping and fencing. Award is recommended to the DMBE firm, Rabinos and Macia, in the amount not to exceed $3 million. And on this job, we're going to achieve 100% DBE participation.
I'd like to make a small correction on the ethnic group for Rabinos and Macia. They're not Hispanic. They're Haitian Indian. They originally were owned by Hispanics, but they sold out some time ago to Haitian Indian owner.
But they're still a DMW.
Yes, they are still sort of.
Or a DBD.
They're still.
Okay. So I did want to inform the board. We don't have any change orders or extra work orders to bring to the board this month. Or to bring to the FAO committee this month. We are still working on some of the change orders and extra work orders. They may be introduced at the full board meeting. It's primarily, as we mentioned during the budget discussion, there's still work going on out there. We have crossroad bridges being constructed all along I-90. We want to continue to keep them going throughout the winter. There may be some winterization costs that I'm going to ask the board to consider so that we can proceed with that work. They did experience some delays over the summer here. We had to work out a lot of coordination with our adjacent utilities, NICOR and ComEd, and also we had an environmental permit, which we couldn't work in some of the wetland areas where we're building our retaining walls. So we do want to keep them going on that work. It doesn't impact the roadway mainline people that much, so as long as the weather allows, we'd like to keep them going. The remaining items are all partial or final releases of retainage. So item 13 is a request for partial release of retainage and a reduction to $40,000 on construction contract 4078. This is with a DMBE firm, Acura. Remaining work, they are going to install a roadway weather information system in our US 20 bridge work. They're on track to, of course, exceed their DB, our DB goal on this contract. They are DB prime. So, item 14, It's a request for partial release of retainage and a reduction in retainage to $50,000 on construction contract 4125 with Lower Construction. They're basically just wrapping up some of their documentation right now. Chair, you asked about Lorig and how they perform with respect to DBE. You'll see that on this one, they committed to 18% going into the job, and it's closing at 21.
I think actually the chair.
Oh,
this chair.
Sorry.
That's okay.
No worries. Glad to see they're exceeding.
You see, he got back to you right away.
He did. It was good. Yeah. He didn't have to wait for long, didn't he?
Item 15 is a partial release of retainage and a reduction in retainage to $50,000 on construction contract 4163 with Lorig. Remaining work includes landscaping. This one, they're tracking low right now, but we have assurances from the field that when this closes, they are going to be right on target with their DB goal.
Okay.
So, item 16, this is a request for final release of retainage in the amount of $164,731.48 on construction contract 4138. This is with Herlihy Mid-Continent Company. The contract was completed within budget. The DBE shortfall was reviewed and accepted by our diversity department. It's primarily associated with adjustments we've made to maintenance of traffic. I believe they had a DBE firm who was going to provide a lot of temporary striping. We added barrier wall to shield the workers from the mainline traffic to perform this work because I think the repairs were turning out to be more extensive than we thought, and that inadvertently eliminated some of the DBE's involvement.
So we eliminated those. We
yes.
eliminated that opportunity. Okay.
The projected adjustment, is that then the final number, the $3,113,000?
That is what we're projecting right now, as what it will come in at.
So the original amount of $3,065,909, at that time they had committed to 17%.
Correct.
So the only addition has been like $70,000. So you're saying that additional $70,000 is what through the DBE debt?
I know that the variance... the variance is, it's about roughly, yeah, 70,000, was due to, we added some crack repair, some additional painting. They did some additional jacking and cribbing. They did some schedule recovery for 39,000. They did some additional bridge deck patch removals and additional latex concrete for 68,000. And they had to do some additional bearing replacement work for 25,000. That explained what the variance was.
From the 70,000.
But are you asking?
I'm just saying they wouldn't have met it even if there wasn't that 70,000. They would have still been way below the DBE committed.
It sounds like within the original contract we added the barrier wall. And why does that impact striping? Maybe we can explain that a little bit.
The barrier wall has reflectors on it, and oftentimes striping right on the side of it, so you don't need the temporary striping on the roadway surface.
But if I understand Director Gonzalez's question, you're saying that the 17%, or maybe...
No, I was just wondering if that's was it all just because of
the
70,000.
How does the reduction of 7%?
The addition of the 70,000 in extra work that created the DBE to drop by 7%. Is it all of that?
No, not all of that.
Okay, so I think it's safe to say that they would not have met the DBE committed had we not done the additional work. So it's not related just to the 70,000.
It's the, yeah, the additional work is not related to their shortfall per se on the DBE commitment.
Was this work that they didn't, did they have subcontractors, and maybe you can't answer this, but did they have, obviously we only see the DBE subcontractors, but there's a universe of potential subcontractors on any of these jobs. Did they already have subcontractors that they were under contract with to do the work that was added, or would it have been an opportunity for them, if it was new and not contemplated when they put the bid in, to go out and find opportunities to use DBE?
I mean, that's, I don't know if...
Is this the problem of earned to date, that they haven't turned in the reports? I know
no, I mean, they're tracking lower, right? So they've already received a clearance from diversity. I don't know, is this their final number, 10%? Is that what they'll come in at?
That's pretty much what we've calculated is the final number, yes. 10%.
We do have the 2115s on this contract. And I don't know, line by line, how the DBE subs perform. If some of them actually did more work than originally committed and others did less.
When they commit to 17%, it's 17% of the original award amount. So 17% original award amount roughly is around $3 million, 17% around $500,000. $500,000 is going to go to the DBE vendors, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that of that $500,000 that was supposed to go to the DBE vendors, what do we have a dollar breakout for these three DBEs and what they actually did?
We do have them.
What can you share that with us?
Yeah. You mean in terms of the actual work performed by each of the three?
No, the dollar amount that was paid.
I can get access to it. I have. If you want it now, I have to go to my office and get it.
No, you can just give it to us.
Well, for the projected adjustment of 10%, it'd be $311,000.
So it'd be a 311. That's what.
So the 7% of the original $3 million would be $200,000. So you would expect that they would get $200,000, even if the $70,000 came in, they were never going to meet it.
But they're never going to meet that.
But your question is, how did it happen among the three? Which?
Why?
Yeah. Like what happened with the original award amount? The award amount. Meet the
I just wasn't worried about with these DBEs at the end of these projects. I just a little concerned.
Yeah, I have a little excerpt from that. So we ask RCM, of course, to tell us, you know, is the contractor's request for this waiver on the shortfall, is it valid or not? And they said that the decrease of the DBE is primarily caused by a decrease in work zone safety's item, which was maintenance of traffic. That contract with the DBE sub was $374,000 to start. That's the amount of lane closures we thought they would do. And this item was broken up into different types of lane closures anticipated by the contract. The number of lane closures was significantly reduced by canceling some of the work that they had planned to do at the Prairie Path Bridge, along with placing temporary barrier wall in order to increase safety to workers and the motoring public at structures 1449 and 1451. So most of the hit came to this work zone safety subcontractor.
And they would have done striping?
And they were doing maintenance of traffic.
Maintenance of traffic, which includes striping.
It included the striping. And I think their final dollar amount, so they had a commitment going in of $375,000, and I believe their final dollar amount was, I forget it. I have the forms, I just...
Hard to find it. Buried in there.
Where is Hurley doing work right now? I think we just awarded a contract to them, didn't we, in the last 60 days or 90 days? So Hurley?
I remember some jobs. I know Hurley, They are primarily bridge contractor. They do a lot of our bridge repair type work. They're not one of these larger type contractors. They don't have super unlimited capacity. They have performed well for the tollway as far as the quality of the work.
I think I would be more concerned if it's a change in the scope of the work, then I could understand the reason why it would drop. Versus if it's that they put in a bunch of MBEs and at the end the MBEs can't complete the work because of either their financial position or the amount of work that the MBE has taken, and therefore they couldn't complete the work, so they had to do it themselves.
But that we know is not the case on those ones.
I have the info here and the actual original committed and dollars actually spent at each of them. You want me to run through? So for Intera, the original was $49,950, which was equal to 1.63% of the work. The actual was $72,940.88
which equals 2.26% of the contract. For
so that one went off.
As you said, it went off. Yeah.
That was for him. There, for top concrete was 19,500, which equals 0.64% of the original contract. The actual was 11,700, which equals 0.36% of the contract.
So that went up.
For a difference of, yeah, but because the contract is now larger, it actually, the percentage went down, which made a difference of minus $7,800. For work zone safety, the original commitment was $463,133.25. For which is equivalent to 15.11% of the contract, of the original contract. The final, the actual, was $238,218.38, which is 7.38% of the final contract, for a difference of minus $224,914.87.
Thank you.
And I believe that big differential on work zone was the modification of the maintenance of traffic scope by the tollway to eliminate that those lane closures and striping and do it under a permanent closure with barrier wall.
Thank you.
So with something like that, if we change it and the subcontractor takes a hit, there's no, I mean, the subcontractor, let's say, thought it was going to be designed one way, went out, invested in the materials, or hired equipment. The people, and then what happens? They just, that's the risk you take if you're a subcontractor?
Contractor or
subcontractor.
Though I have to say that on occasion when we had an opportunity to do something to ameliorate that kind of situation for us, so we tried to work with them, and I can think of a case where a sub had already incurred cost and materials that he could not send back to the manufacturer, but they thought we had a need for it, so they thought we just went ahead and bought it anyway.
Yes, we will buy the, we will reimburse them for the material purchase.
Try not to leave them out there hanging. We can't.
Okay, thank you.
So item 17, this was an item that I brought to the board and we discussed it last month, and it concerned a modification, a pretty large modification, where we thought we were going to do the work from NICOR's side of the right-of-way and we have to do it from our property instead. And it resulted in a big change order of $600,000. This is a request for the final release of retainage on that contract of $173,055.91. It's on contract 4159 with John Burns. The variance in the contract amount is primarily due to, you know, what we just talked about. The DB shortfall also was reviewed and accepted by Diversity, primarily associated with one of the proposed DB firms not being able to perform the work and modification of some of the proposed directional borings under the roadway. We modified those to aerial relocations in order to save time. So this was an advanced work contract for relocating our fiber optic cable on I-90. So that's like one of the first things that has to get out of the way before we start building retaining walls along the right-of-way line and also doing the mainline roadway reconstruction and widening. We really wanted to get this job done quickly and get it over with. We gave them a start date of December 31st, 2013, and all the work was pretty much done by April on this job. They did not have a lot of time to make any adjustments or to react to, I think, what started out. One of the DB firms had an issue where they didn't have all the proper clearance yet. I think it was delinquent debt.
Right? And delinquent debt.
It took a little,
state.
Yes. So that took a little while to get worked out. They did get it worked out in time to be utilized on the other contract that we have them on. But on this one, the fact that it got done in April, I mean, they lost a lot of their opportunity there, and we did not want to delay this job any further. And John Burns did have to perform some of that work. So 18 is the sister contract to 17. This is also a final release of retainage in the amount of $185,353.09 on contract 4160 with John Burns. A lot of the same variances happened on this contract also, except it did extend for an additional 2 months, so they were able to get a little more DBE involvement. The DBE shortfall was reviewed and accepted by diversity. And I mentioned how we had directional boring in this contract where they were going to actually reinstall some of these fiber optic lines under the roadway, and that wasn't working out in the field for us because we were having trouble. The proposed storm sewer design is going on at the same time, so we're trying to predict like where that's going to be at, and we didn't want to put the fiber optic in a location where we were going to have to move it again. Although we don't like having stuff over the road, we did what was most expedient in this case, and we did have to put some of it over the road. John Burns, on both contracts, they did respond to the impacts that these scope changes were having on their DBE firms, and they did demonstrate good faith. In fact, they added in 6.5% more work for DBE firms to do on this job. They added in work zone safety, the DBE firm that was had a shortfall on the other contract, LaGrange Crane and Evergreen Supply and Electrical Resource Management. So they, even though this also was a very short time frame and a very expedited contract, they did attempt to try to make us whole on the DB side.
Okay. Thanks, Paul. Any questions in regards to engineering? So deferred items 5 and 6. Everything else is okay. Any objections to taking all these together? No? Okay. They're being done under engineering items. I'd like to take items 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, and 8, and then 9 through 18. Do I hear a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Nays. Motion passes and moves to the full consent agenda to the full board. Thank you, Paul. Legal, do we have one item, or is that going to be deferred?
Director, we have one with the University of Illinois on the agenda, but we'll defer it. Your Big Ten record is 1-4. We're going to wait.
So we'll defer that to the full board, or just defer it?
Maybe it'll next year.
Next year, I guess.
We're not certain if it'll be full board. It may actually be a month down the road.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you. Anything else legal? No. Any unfinished business? Any new business? We don't think we need executive session, do we?
I think we've got one item that we wouldn't mind talking about, but it would be very brief in executive session.
Okay. Then you want to read a motion for us to go into executive session?
Sure. You could do a motion pursuant to Illinois Open Meetings Act, exception 2C7, to discuss sale of securities related to the tolling.
Is there a motion approved?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? We are now, motion passes. We are now in executive session. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.